It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and we're talking with Emily Cipino, the director of Aspen Strong. Karen Bannereau is a board member. They have their sixth annual big fundraiser coming up on Saturday, August 17th. It's Hike Hope Heal, benefiting Aspen Strong in Ryan's Voice Fund and the Mental Health Fund. Emily, it's interesting. Most of the time, you start with an organization that needs a fundraiser, so you come up with a fundraiser. This case, Aspen Strong, kind of happened opposite that. Actually had the first annual event 6 years ago, and sometime after that, Aspen Strong was created.
Correct. So our founder, Christina King, realized that there were so many great events going on throughout the valley, supporting all types of issues and causes, but not many events just supporting mental health and bringing awareness to the importance of mental health. So she came up with the idea for a hike just to bring the community together to all meet and learn about the different resources that are available throughout the valley, and then all hike up together at Smuggler Mountain in Aspen. And the money raised for that first event was for the Mental Health Fund. And the Mental Health Fund is created to help cover the costs of mental health counseling for those who can't afford it at full cost. So that event happened, and then after it was successful, and afterwards Christina felt, you know what, let's keep the momentum going, and created Aspen Strong, so a mental health nonprofit, really focusing on that promotion of what we call mental hygiene, so things you can do on a regular basis to take care of your mental health, and then also help connect people to mental health resources. So Aspen Strong was started, and a lot of resources are available at aspenstrong.org. Correct, we've continued the hike, and this is our sixth year. We are still raising money for the Mental Health Fund. I think over $90,000 at this point has been raised over the last 6 years. And we also are raising money for our foundation, which is growing and expanding. So this is also a fundraiser for Aspen Strong.
What's the footprint? What's the impact of the Mental Health Fund? Is it a statewide thing, national thing, mm-hmm. local thing?
Yeah, so it's local. It's for our valley. When we look at some of the analytics and statistics that come to us from the Aspen Community Foundation, so they house the fund. And it is reaching people from Aspen to Parachute, so throughout the Roaring Fork Valley, all ages. And so the way that it works is there are providers, individual providers throughout the valley who accept the fund. And so the Aspen Community Foundation will have a list of those providers, and you apply to be able to be on that list. And then as one of those providers who accepts the fund, when you have a client who cannot afford the cost, you can apply for the funding to help cover the cost of it.
As therapists, which both of you are, mm-hmm. Do you find that it's what kind of step is it to go from actual working with clients in the office to working with a nonprofit like this? Is it a natural progression, or what was your personal journey getting from one place to the next?
Well, I'll start. So okay. I moved here and was new to the valley and was starting my practice here. And for me, getting involved with Aspen Strong was just a wonderful opportunity to start getting involved in the community and in a field that I'm passionate about. I think for me, what's so important is when I work with those individual clients and families, I get to do that individual work that is so important. But with Aspen Strong, it's at a community level. So it's addressing some of those community needs, those bigger needs, because what we know is that all those overarching needs at the community level and the family level really do trickle down to the individuals. So it felt like making a difference on a larger scale for me.
Do you find that the stigma of seeking out help for mental health is one of the big things that you think needs to be dealt with?
Exactly. Yeah. That is. And that's so much what we do. And I can let you talk about that, Karen.
Karen?
Hi. And I think also I got involved with Aspen Strong as a counselor. and also just recognizing what Emily shared about it being part of the community. There is, when you go to get a service in the Valley, you can go to the Yellow Pages and look things up. And what seemed to be lacking in the Valley was the ability to say, I think I have some depression needs, or I'm really anxious about something. And what Aspen Strong has developed and done that I got involved with was helping create the provider directory. To be part of the provider directory as a resource, it is a very long application, very deeply grounded and vetted. And when I got accepted to be as part of the Aspen Strong directory, I thought, wait a minute, there's more to this. And Emily pulled me into helping out with Hike Hope Heal. And she also asked me to sit when we go out into the community for things like health fairs. And we do the screenings, that it's called the checkup from the neck up. And we have a sit with a little iPad, and on the AspenStrong.org website, anybody has access to that in the Valley. You don't have to be part of Aspen Strong. You don't have any membership dues. You just go to AspenStrong.org, and on there is our provider directory of all the therapists in the Valley who are available. When you go to the provider directory, you'll see a photograph, a description of services, location of services, et cetera, everything you might want to know about this therapist. And that's something that, as an individual, we felt was very, very important to have access to. Again, with the stigma, people aren't running around asking friends of where to go. Anyone can go to the AspenStrong.org site and look up the different providers in the Valley who are listed. And I think we have over 90.
We're at about 90.
Yeah. We're about 90 therapists now that have joined as be part of that directory. So in doing the health fairs, we set up and we have our information available about what Aspen Strong is. We hope that people will take a screening. It's very simple, very easy to take, completely confidential screening. And then what this link does with your email, we don't take emails, but you can add your email. You can find links to articles and information, current information about particular concerns, things like eating disorders, anxiety, depression, substance use, alcohol, drug use. You take the screening and then you get connected on your own via your very own personal email that we don't see, but you do, and then you can get hooked up with information. And I just did a screening at First Friday and had all kinds of people take the screening, and they were sort of amazed at, like, wow, I never even thought to ask that question. And you can take the screening if you have a friend or someone you're concerned about to learn a little bit more about what the problem is, what questions to ask, and where your resources are.
How many questions is that screening, by the way?
You know what? I timed it. It takes about a minute and a half if you go through the questions. So probably 10 questions,
sounds
eight,
about
10
right.
questions.
That sounds about right. Which would be typical for a depression screening or mm-hmm. something like that. Again, it's called Checkup from the Neck Up, and it's on the website at aspenstrong.org. And to be clear, you said it's confidential, but of course, confidential is usually defined by the security of the website. So you're not actually asking for any personally identifiable information. Anybody can take that screening, that checkup, just to see where they are. And then as a next step, if they choose, they can share an email address where they can get in touch with a counselor or someone that may mm-hmm. be of help. Okay.
Plus, they've also entered the website, and now they have it in front of them to navigate the website bar at the top to say find a provider, find resources. We also have a community calendar on that website of different support groups in the Valley and different events that are happening in the Valley. So on just being able to see what is available at that website. It's a beautifully prepared and rich website to dive into some concerns.
And again, the Valley defined as Roaring Fork and Colorado River Valleys, so Aspen mm-hmm. to Parachute.
And just to clarify, also in the past year, we have expanded into the Eagle River Valley. We have providers on the directory who are in that in the Eagle River Valley. And we found that that's important given that many people in the Glenwood area mm-hmm. or the Parachute area sometimes getting over to that, Avon, Eagle, is sometimes easy easier than getting up to Aspen. So we wanted to make sure that we're getting as many providers on there as possible. So
really what I might call the Tri-County area.
Exactly, yeah. Right. We're expanding.
More and more of a metro area, but so yeah, it makes sense. Again, the website is aspenstrong.org. Mm-hmm. And the event, again, on Saturday, August 17th, it's called Hike Hope Heal. Again, it's a hike up to Smuggler, to the Smuggler Observation Deck. Did I see where you don't have a set registration fee for this? You're asking for donations?
Yes. So we are asking for people to register. That helps give us an idea of who's coming. Also, just to, you know, people to have an opportunity if they'd like to donate. So it is a free event, but donations are obviously encouraged, and that is all through the registration link, which is at aspenstrong.org/hike. And we will meet at Heron Park in the morning, so starting at about 7:30. So if you don't register beforehand, you can come that morning and register. We will have our iPads available for that. And then in the park, we have pastries and coffee donated by Starbucks and Paradise Bakery. They will be served out of Bitsy Caravan, which is this great little trailer. She's bringing it and sets it up, and it's really cute, and she'll serve the food and coffee out of that. And then we have tables from different organizations and providers from around the valley who will just have their information available. And then we have yoga starting at 8 o'clock, so some free yoga in the park, and then we all will hike up to the top of Smuggler. So just a great community event. But correct, it is free, and really, if you can't donate, that's okay. Just coming and supporting mental health and getting together as a community is just as important as well.
Again, the website is aspenstrong.org. Again, registration is encouraged, even if there's no fee, just so that you have an idea about how many people. And since you're providing a light breakfast, it's always helpful to know how much you need to bring.
Exactly.
But if you just want to show up there in Heron Park in Aspen on Saturday the 17th, everybody is welcome. Mm-hmm. Back in just a minute, you're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Emily Cipino. She's the director of Aspen Strong. Karen Bannereau is a board member, both active counselors in the area. You were talking about the website earlier, Karen. Again, aspenstrong.org. You mentioned that there is a directory of counselors on that website who, it's not just a send us your name and a picture, we'll put you on the list. You actually vet these counselors. Now, in Colorado, it's a little bit unique because anyone can call themselves a counselor or a therapist in Colorado. Obviously, there are some restrictions if you're going to bill insurance or do certain things, but anybody can say, well, I'm a counselor, come on in, let's talk. And that, I imagine, is one of those things that you're vetting with this list of counselors that are on your list.
That's correct, Gabe. My understanding and my application went forward only when I became a CAC 2. In the state of Colorado, there's CAC 1, CAC 2, and CAC 3. There's also LPCs and LFMT. There's a lot of alphabet soup that is behind a counselor's name. So when you do find a counselor, it's well worth time to understand the different levels of training it takes to get to a certain level. And as a CAC 2, I'm allowed to see clients. I do substance abuse and addictions counseling. And each of the therapists that come onto our website will have an explanation of where they went to school, what their degree is, how long they've been in practice, the types of clients that they see. So it makes it very accessible and easy for people to look up someone's name and then get their bio and be able to feel almost as though you have spent some time with that person, because you have all this information available as to who you are, how long you've been in the valley. And there's a mission statement that everyone's invited to post on their website or their bio page. And for me, it's that anybody can recover. Just like you said, it comes from that willingness to start the process and to talk about it. And I think Aspen Strong is unique in that we are working very hard to be able to do just that, to talk about mental illness and to talk about preventative care and being able to look at self-care and plug people into the resources, connect them to the resources they need to get healthier. And to maybe for some people, it's just to even identify that there's a problem.
Go ahead.
And I'll add to that, And there is a vetting process, so that would be me. Anybody who applies to be on the directory, I approve their profile. And we have a licensing and qualification page that we update to ensure that both our providers and our users are aware of who is on the directory. If you look at the credentials behind somebody's name and be aware of, you know, what does CAC1 and CAC2 mean, and what does an LPC mean? And if, like you said, in the state of Colorado, someone can be what is called a registered psychotherapist, which doesn't necessarily mean that they have the same credentials as some of the other therapists on there. And it's very important to know that, which is why we have our licensing and qualifications information on there. However, every person who is practicing mental health care has to be registered with the state of Colorado. And there is the Department of Regulatory Agency, DORA, that is monitoring every person who is providing care. So it is important to bring that up, because I do check any license that you have to put in a license number on the directory, and I do check that and make sure that they are actually registered within the system with the state of Colorado.
And registered and active. Mm-hmm. The two examples you gave, the Colorado Addiction Counselor and the Licensed Professional Counselor certifications, those both require continuing education, much like a teacher. Exactly. Or any other, or a healthcare professional.
Correct.
40 hours in the 2 years for CAC2s and up from there. And you must have insurance, too. I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of healthcare, you know, when you're going to find a doctor, be it a family physician or a specialist, Karen was kind of talking about this earlier. You can ask your friends, well, have you heard about Dr. So-and-so? Not exactly the same thing when you're talking about mental health care. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's even more personal in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It may not be as intimate, or it's not supposed to be. That would kind of be against the rules. But it's not something that you just go to your friends and say, well, you know, have you heard about this therapist or that counselor, that kind of thing.
You know, we part of what we do also is we have partnerships with organizations throughout the Valley. We call them our workplace partnerships. But it is working with businesses and organizations to help their employees access mental health care and learn more about promoting their mental hygiene, maintaining their mental health. So we've done a lot of research into, you know, what are the barriers? Why are people not seeking help? And, you know, what we've come up with is, you know, cost is a huge one, but the stigma, the confidentiality, the fear of what people will think, and then also just risk factors of living in some of these rural communities and resort communities. There are some risk factors associated there. But you're right, it's harder to ask that question. It's harder to admit that there is something wrong personally, that I'm struggling, and people might judge you and think that you can't do your job or that you can't be a good parent if you're struggling with depression, or there's all the stigma attached to it. So that fear of what people will think, your neighbors, your coworkers, your employer, that all factors into reaching out for help, and why having these anonymous resources on our website is so important, so people know that, okay, I can go take a quick screening. It is confidential. I can learn the signs and symptoms of what a particular issue is for myself or somebody else. And then I can look for a provider on my own. I can filter for all these different things. I don't have to go out of my comfort zone and kind of crash through this barrier to access care. And at the same time, we're working so hard to eliminate that stigma. Health is health. Your physical health, your mental health, your dental health, it is all one. And it's going to take a long time to eliminate that stigma attached to mental health, but that's what we do. And that's what this hike is about, is just coming together to say, hey, it is okay to not be okay. And we can all come together and support mental health as a community.
I think to a certain degree, there is a connection between physical health and mental health as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, the whole idea of a hike. I'm sure that there are studies where they've looked at things like physical activity, and they've seen that it actually helps your outlook in general.
Yeah.
Not that it's a one-size-fits-all or anything like that, but it certainly is a step, pun intended, in the right direction. Again, everyone is invited to the Hike Hope Heal event on Saturday, August 17th. Again, register at aspenstrong.org. If you would like to make a donation, you can, but that is absolutely not necessary. By the way, Karen mentioned during the break something that I did not bring up earlier. It is a family-friendly event. kids are welcome, and one of the few times we can say dogs are also welcome. If you would like to bring your pet on a leash, of course, try and, you know, keep them from running amok.
Yeah. Yes, families, pets, and, you know, what we've found, and I work with a lot of nonprofits, and there are so many events that happen. But this is also an event where it's family friendly. It's in the morning. There's not alcohol there, which, you know, for many people, I think that's important to bring up. There are so many events that take place, so many fundraisers throughout our valley that are amazing for great causes. And sometimes people who don't drink or have struggled with substance abuse don't want to attend those events because there might be alcohol there. So I think just knowing that this is just, you know, we're coming together to have a light breakfast, do yoga and hike, and it's family friendly, it's important to note that.
There's also going to be a lot of resources there at Heron Park. We've invited several groups that have sponsored the event to come and bring their table and their information, their flyers. And not everybody who's coming to the event is directly relating their product or their services to mental health, but we see them as supporters of mental health in the Roaring Fork Valley. And I've recently been able to contact and get some sponsorships from people from the Mid-Valley. They are bringing their information about what their services are and what they do. One of them is the Roaring Fork Enrichment, and also Dave Jensen's coming up from the Wynn Institute. And so I'm really delighted to expand this beyond the roundabout in Aspen. We so often see Aspen Strong, and it's an Aspen event. This is valley-wide. I've contacted people all the way down to Parachute and Glenwood Springs, and we invite all counselors, all organizations who have an interest in mental health to be table sponsors and bring your information, your table, your information, your flyers, your cards, and join us to say we support mental hygiene and mental health in this valley. And bring, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to support you and for you to say that we are part of this whole connection.
And if anyone is interested in setting up a table on Saturday the 17th there in Heron Park, is there contact information on the website?
Exactly. Okay. So aspenstrong.org/hike. You can find the information to become a sponsor, a table sponsor, or to sponsor the event. If you have a business or an organization and you'd like to show the community that you support mental health in this cause, we are accepting sponsorships still at different levels. But yes, the contact information is on there. The registration information to become a sponsor is available on our website.
And again, the money that's raised will go to Aspen Strong Initiatives, and specifically your In Ryan's Voice Fund, which we should probably talk more about before we finish the conversation today, and the Mental Health Fund, which is administered by the Aspen Community Foundation.
Yes.
And I assume any donations are tax deductible, depending on the particular tax situation of the individual.
Yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit.
That's where I was going with that. Again, the website is aspenstrong.org. Take one final break, come back and wrap things up in just a moment. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Karen Bannerow, a board member of Aspen Strong. Emily Sapino is the director. Gearing up for a sixth annual fundraiser. It's called Hike, Hope, Heal, Saturday, August 17th, starting and returning to Heron Park in Aspen. Again, Aspen is in the name, but this is a valley-wide thing in every sense. Roaring Fork, Colorado, and Eagle River Valleys. Access to Aspen Strong, well, I guess anywhere in the world people have access. It's a website, but you get the idea. AspenStrong.org, a lot of different resources there, including the screening tool that we talked about before, the checkup from the neck up, which is entirely confidential. You don't have to give any personal information, anything like that. It's not like the typical online survey where, yeah, we'll give you the information as soon as you give us your email address and your daytime phone number. It's not that kind of thing. Anybody can take that screening, that minute and a half or so test, kind of figure out where you are, and then decide for yourself what next steps you'd like to take. Again, there is no set registration fee for the Hike, Hope Heal event. Anyone that would like to make a donation can, but you don't have to. And again, the money that is raised, well, in the last 5 years, $90,000 has been raised, and that supports Aspen Strong initiatives, including the In Ryan's Voice Fund, as well as the Mental Health Fund, again, which is administered or handled, taken care of by the Aspen Community Foundation. So I have a feeling this is going to be a sad story, but I'm going to ask anyway, who is Ryan?
Yes. So Ryan Marcel and Carlin Brightwell, they were wonderful board members of Aspen Strong. And coming up on 2 years now, they passed away in a climbing accident while climbing Capitol Peak. And it was the day after our hike 2 years ago. And so the hike is in memory of them and just how much they did for Aspen Strong, their passion in the community, how many people just love them and really valued their voice. Ryan was so passionate about mental health and Aspen Strong's cause, had been involved for a while, and was just out there in the community trying to get as many people involved. And so his voice was so important that we named a fund after him, so In Ryan's Voice, to raise money and for people who wanted to donate to Aspen Strong. I mean, we just had so many donations coming in after they passed away that we felt it was important to create something specifically for them because they obviously made an impact and so many people wanted to support our cause because of their voice in the community.
When you or your family makes those kind of decisions, you know, frequently when you see the obituary, you'll see, you know, memorial donations to whatever the organization is or the class of organization. And it's, you really don't realize the impact you have or your family or friend or loved one had until something like that happens and you see this outpouring of support.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I had just started with the organization with the, when this happened, and I think it kind of skewed. I was, is this normal? You know, just the amount of money and outreach that came in, but it really just, for me, not having all this context and background, but to come into Aspen Strong right as this was happening, I could see firsthand just what an impact people can make just by being out there and saying, it's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And here's how we can make a difference. And they truly did. And people felt that.
One of the things that I noticed as I was perusing the website earlier is on the front page, you're talking a little bit about, you know, everything has to have a really long title, right? You have to label it something so that you know what it is. Seasonal affective disorder, which is something we typically talk about during the holidays, various reasons why people would be sad or down during the holidays, but it can also affect people during the summer as well. Mm-hmm. I suppose that would depend on your personal experiences. If you had a bad experience or a trauma or something like that in the summer, then you might not find it as happy a time as a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And again, absolutely normal.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the, why I really love the title of this is the second word in here of saying hope. Mm. And for me, recovery and any kind of mental health services that are effective, whether it's with a counselor, whether it's with a physical activity, whether it's with a community group, it could be a process group, a grief support group. My mindset is that if we don't have hope, people aren't going to want this service. If they don't see the face of recovery, if they don't see the hope and the joy and the return to life that is offered through mental health counseling, through even just a screening, but through good therapy, through community events like this, through the partnership and the connections, that's where the hope comes in. And when I work with clients or any other kind of mental health work and I see the lights come back on and I see people return to the joy in their lives, I think to myself, I want to do anything in my power to be able to support groups like Aspen Strong and be a voice on the board. That's a very small part of it. But to be able to say, we are here and we are available to help the hope and the healing happen for families, for individuals, for groups. And part of this work that we're doing and developing Aspen Strong and as it grows and grows in our valley is to say, we don't have all the answers, but we have that sense of it's okay to talk about it, and it's even better when the recovery happens.
And it's okay to talk about in the summer. You know, I think that's what you're asking about is there's no right time to feel depressed or sad. There's no, this person can feel sad, but this person can't. I think the summer brings about different issues, or triggers for people where if a lot of people are outside and doing things with friends, and if you don't have those connections, you really feel that. And so that's why it's so important to work on, how do you connect with others? Because we know that that does something to the brain, and that truly does help. But that can be a trigger for someone. There are so many events where if you're struggling with alcohol, it can be hard to be out in the community doing a lot of things throughout our valley where there might be alcohol served and you feel uncomfortable and then you feel like you can't be out there connecting. So I think summer brings a whole other set of obstacles. Even if the days are longer and you can be outside later and it's beautiful, you can still struggle. And I think that is one of the risk factors of living where we live is people think, it's so beautiful here. I'm so lucky. I can't complain. And so people think that they can't feel depressed or sad or anxious or that they can't be struggling. Like somehow they don't deserve the help or they shouldn't be, they should get over it because look at where you are. And that's just not the truth. Everybody struggles.
Everyone's experience is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We're talking about recovery. Everyone's recovery and the help that they need is a little bit different, too. Some people may be fine if they just get out and get a little physical activity every day. That may be all they need for a completely normal, whatever normal means, mental health outlook, for mental hygiene, as you call it, right? Yeah. Some people, may need to just hang out with a friend for a couple hours once a week to just kind of debrief, that kind of thing. Other people may need to talk to someone, a professional, maybe one of those folks that's on the directory at aspenstrong.org with one of those professional certifications. For some people, again, everyone's experience is a little bit different. Maybe they need to talk to someone at church. Maybe that is what they need for that mental hygiene. Mm-hmm. Again, everybody is a little bit different.
That is correct. And I love the way that you frame that. It's a spectrum. It's one side of the spectrum, which is prevention and education. I think that's where Asp Strong does a lot of work. And then the other side of that spectrum is, crisis and more one-on-one care. And sometimes people are in crisis. And there are it's a long spectrum. And there are different resources and tools and needs all throughout that spectrum. And so you're spot on in that for everybody, it's different. And it's finding what's right for you.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere. Again, the website is aspenstrong.org. The Hike Hope Heal event is on Saturday, August 17th. If you would like to register the day of the event, sure, that's fine. Yeah, pre-registration is helpful because there will be some donuts and some light breakfast, if you will, but not absolutely necessary. Sign-in starts at 7:30 at Heron Park in Aspen with a little yoga around 8. 8:30, everybody hikes up to the Smuggler Lookout Deck. A little group photo around 9:30 for those that would like to participate in that. Then you hike back to the park around 9:45, and the rest of your Saturday is yours to do with as you choose.
Exactly.
Anything else? Any other thoughts, ladies?
No, we just hope to see you come out and support mental health and just be part of this community event.
And when you see the posters in stores, know that that is a business that is supporting Hike Hope Heal and Aspen Strong. So when you see me coming with my poster and tape, usher me in and we'll hang some posters to let everybody know when the event is. So it's just in a week and a half. So that's why we're hoping to get the word out in our final push here.
Again, the website, aspenstrong.org. You want to go straight to the hike registration, aspenstrong.org/hike, and you can go from there. All right, all the best. Look forward to talking about this again next year. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.